morning. Good morning and welcome to Main Street on this beautiful December the 4th, 2005. Let's begin our time together by singing Surely the Presence.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
What a wonderful day to be in worship together. Let me call your attention to a couple of announcements. I'm not going to go over everything in this bulletin because obviously we are a very busy church this time of year. But I want to mention that a couple of things that are important, particularly that today, Mrs. Ballantyne passed away, and the funeral will be today at 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock here, 1:30. I'm sorry, at 1:30 here. So I wanted to be sure that our church family was aware of that. Further out into the calendar, on Christmas Day, there will be a Christmas service here at 11 o'clock that day. So what a wonderful day to come to worship together. Also, the luncheon today will go on as scheduled. The fundraiser luncheon will be this immediately following the service today. There are a couple of things that I wanted to also bring to your attention. There are a couple of community Christmas opportunities that I think are pretty special. The assistance for low-income families, that is listed in our bulletin and something that we can all take note of. Also, another thing, the Cokesbury College Holiday Tea will be on Sunday, December the 11th. And by the way, the Light in the Darkness service that you've all read about already is Thursday, December the 15th. So if you were wondering which Thursday that was, it is December the 15th. You will find all of those announcements in our weekly newsletter and other announcements in the bulletin as well. So let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
see only our fears reflected there and our hopes. I spend my nights in solitude, in silence, looking from the corners of my eyes at small lights far off among the sleeping vastness. These distant lights move but do not change. Time rolls and falls, but nothing changes. I hoped once to understand the universe, the scope of things, the meaning of life, the true significance. I no longer have these aspirations. Still, I wait patiently, as if by habit, beyond hope, yet waiting. But tonight, I swear, I have seen. You may or may not believe me, but I have seen a star. No mere star. A bright, a shining, an immense, expanding illumination. A light like no other. This wasn't subtle. I did not need to look askew to see it. This star announced an arrival. I must go to greet this wonder. The silent stars have spoken to me after all. Something has happened. Something has changed.
Will you please stand for the call to worship? Lift up your head, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Be seated. Merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way of salvation. Give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may celebrate aright the commemoration of the Nativity, and may await with joy the coming in glory of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you, the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
I'm going to ask Glenn Williams to come forward now for just a few moments to continue our emphasis on stewardship leading up to Personal Consecration Sunday in just a few weeks.
I've been praying this week, asking God what I can say to encourage Main Street in its decisions about stewardship of money. God wants so much for Main Street and His church to enjoy prosperity, but we can only enjoy prosperity when we line up with God's will in our giving. And God's Word gives us clear instructions on how to do that. The Bible reveals some things about God that we need to be reminded of. God always uses the least and makes the most. God uses Moses, a stuttering shepherd, to lead a nation from slavery. And God uses a young boy's lunch to feed thousands. And God can even use a widow's last 2 cents and build cathedrals. It's clear that God's ways are much different than our ways, and we should try to go along with His way. Just like Moses, the young boy, and the poor widow, we only need to be obedient and return to God only a small portion of the resources that He has given us. Again, God's Word gives us clear instructions on what we are required to return to God. Several references in the Old Testament refer to the tithe, which means a tenth. God requires that we return a tenth of the income that He has given us back to Him. The New Testament is also clear about giving. Jesus wanted the rich young ruler to give all he had. And after Pentecost, many sold all of their possessions, all of their land, and laid the money at the disciples' feet. God wants us to return to Him somewhere between 10% and all. And this is where our obedience comes in. Keep in mind that God doesn't need money. He owns everything. The tithe and the offering aren't for Him, they're for us. When we are obedient to return the tithe to God, we are telling God, God, we trust You to provide for us. And when we tell God this, He smiles and we smile and we can grow even closer to Him. I'd like to tell for just a moment how tithing has been a blessing to Allie and me. I go back to 1997, which I like to call my year of surrender. I was already a Christian, but I was still trying to live my way, and my way wasn't working, so I asked Jesus to take complete control of my life, and He did. I began trusting, and He began providing abundantly. We began to give more to the church. I can even remember a survey that came out that showed that me and Allie were probably giving our share, and that's when Jesus convicted me about tithing. It's not about your share, Glenn. He showed me a TV sermon. It was kind of comical. The preacher, he put 10 dimes on the pulpit, and he took one off of the stack and put it beside the 10. And he told the congregation, he said, God gives you 9. All He requires is just 1. So that day, Allie and I began tithing. The next opportunity that came around to make a bank deposit, I wrote a check to the church for 10% of that amount. And what happened next? God blessed us with more income. Did I get rich? No. Matter of fact, last year I had a fairly dismal year financially. The only thing that I know that is that I did get rich spiritually. And I continue to get richer and richer in my relationship with God. And there's not enough money in the world to buy that feeling. Many at Main Street tithe already, We're a very generous congregation, but we are far from being a tithing congregation. Just imagine for a minute, if you will, if Main Street were a tithing congregation. And God desires that Main Street become a tithing congregation. And it's not about the money. It's about the trust and obedience that God desires. The dollar bill of a $10 child's allowance will further God's kingdom just as much as the $10,000 of the tithe of a $100,000 income. When you come to the altar on the 18th, first offer God all you have. Give Him your heart, your whole heart. And then ask God how He wants you to give financially. And tell God that you're going to trust Him. Listen to this verse from God's Word, Malachi 3:10-12. I'll close with this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from destroying your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to our community concerns today, I have, of course, you have known that Becky Ballantyne did pass away after an extended time in the hospital. We got the word this morning that Clyde Watson, recovering from surgery, is having some complications today and needs our special prayers. Chuck Drake is back in town after successful back surgery. We praise God for that. We continue to pray for Betty Turner, Beth Gray, Joyce Bartless, your former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith-Falaw, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, Heather Harmon, and Bette McCord Bly. We add to the list, we were to have some new members, a young family joined today, Kim and Gary Clark and Kim's son, but they are out of town and will not be joining today because of the tragic death of the son of a very good set of friends of theirs, Reverend Bob Disher and Susan Disher. Their son died tragically and suddenly over this weekend, and they are in Burlington, North Carolina, comforting their friends. Please pray for the Disher family. They ask us, and they will be joining at a later date. With these concerns in our hearts and also our sympathy, we reach out to the family of Clyde Cooper, Candy Tinsley's father, who was buried this past week. With all these concerns, along with our private concerns, let us go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, in the wilderness of the Jordan you sent a messenger to prepare our hearts for the coming of your Son. Open our hearts and welcome today, and help us to hear the good news and to turn toward Him. Remove the things that hinder us from receiving His Word with joy into our hearts, and help us to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. God of power and mercy, you have promised a time when the lion and the lamb will lie down together. Lord, help all nations and the leaders of all the nations of the world and all peoples earnestly desire this time. Help them to give up their ways of fear and greed and hate and be open to the influence of your Spirit, and trust in your ways and not our own. Lord, help your church to always point to the source of peace. Help us point to the one who is called the shoot from the root of Jesse, the true vine, the promised one from of old, the light of the world, the bread of life, the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lamb upon the throne, the one who is called the eternal and everlasting Prince of Peace. Help us to point to Him, and to live in Him and to love others as He has loved us. Lord, today many in our world and many here are cast down with spiritual needs, hungering and thirsting for the peace of your forgiveness and the warmth of your healing love. Come to us and go to them with grace that we desperately need. Lord, many are in despair through physical hardship, are grieving the loss of loved ones, are seeking relief from burdens, whatever they may be. Come to them with the help they desperately need. Lord, we lift before you now those people and places and situations that are especially upon our hearts today. Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you in silence. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll ask the children to come down front for a very special children's message today with Lisa Smith.
Boys and girls, come front a little bit because we're going to have some props today. I'm going to ask you to participate. That's why I have the microphone on the stands because I needed my hands today. All right, Josie, I want you to stand up. You can hold. Now, don't do it till I am. And you can do it. Josie, you hold both of these like they're a balancing scale. Okay? Can you do that? Good morning, boys and girls. Lots of children this morning. What I want you to do this morning is I want you to pretend. I don't know about you, but I like to pretend things. I want you to pretend this morning that you are a balancing scale. I want you to take both of your hands like this, and I want you to show me what a balancing scale looks like when both sides of the scale are perfectly equal. Show me. Perfectly equal. Both of them should be just alike. Now, what would happen? Keep your hands up. What would happen if I put a big bag of pennies on one side of the balancing scale? Hold on. Show me with your hands what would happen to the balancing scale if I put a big bag of pennies in one hand. That's exactly right. Now show me what would happen if I put in the other hand two pennies. Can you come up and do that for me, please? Thank you. Show me with your hands. Shh. Are they equal? Which bag weighs more? The one with a lot of pennies or the one bag with two pennies? The one with a lot of pennies. Well, let me ask you another question. Which bag is worth more money? The one with a lot of pennies. Which bag would I be able to buy more stuff with at the store? The one with a lot of pennies. Well, let me tell you just a quick story that Mr. Glenn was talking about. You can put your hands down for just a moment. In the Bible, Jesus tells us a story about going to the temple one day and watching people putting their money into the collection boxes, which is sort of like what I've got Josie doing here with the two collection plates. He watched people putting large amounts of money in the collection box. Now, these people were rich, they were wealthy, and let me tell you, there was plenty more at home where that came from. He watched them put money into the collection boxes. And then, guess what happened? Along came, what, Josie?
A poor widow
woman, an older woman. And she put in two coins. Now, we're going to demonstrate that. So, let me see. Scurry, you be the rich man. I want you to drop very carefully so Jesse doesn't drop it, all of the pennies into one of the offering plates. Now remember, Jesse, you're a balancing scale too. And I want, Marissa, Okay. I want you to come up and put the two coins. That's right. You were helping me do that. I want you to be the older poor widow woman. Come on around. And I want you to put the two coins into the collection plate. Now watch Josie's hands. Now this one weighs more, so it's going to go down. Now, boys and girls, this was all this woman had. This is all in the world that she had to her name. Yet she gave all that she had. And you know what? She did it with a cheerful heart. Now let me ask you a question again. Which one weighs more? The plate with a bunch of coins or the one with two coins? Which one weighs more? She's showing you the one with more coins. Which one could you buy more stuff with? The one with more coins. But let me ask you a deep thinking question. Which one do you think pleased God the most? The one who gave lots of money because there was more where that came from at home? Or the person who gave all that they had? Which one do you think? The person who gave all that she had. Boys and girls, God gives us everything, and Mr. Glenn was telling you that this morning. Everything we have, can you hold this for me, sweetie? Thank you. Everything we have comes from God, and the Bible teaches us that we should give a portion of that back to God. And one way that we do that, we do it through our time, and we do it through our gifts and our talents, like you guys did this morning by singing so beautifully. But another very important way that we give back to God is through our weekly offering, which is what Josie is demonstrating today. We need to remember to give what we can back to God. So let's have our prayer. Close your eyes, please. Dear God, thank you for all of your gifts. Help us to be more like the poor widow woman, and to be a cheerful giver. Amen. You can give those back to the collection plate when they come in. Thank you.
And now, with that wonderful introduction, let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We thank you, Lord, for giving us enough for every good cause and enough to meet all of our needs. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We return them unto you. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 1 through 8. In the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message, After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My old college roommate teaches biology at Greenville Tech, and for a while they had a snake in his laboratory. And when it was time for the snake's feeding, the freshman students would gather around and stare in rapt silence. And once my friend, the instructor, said to the class, he said, "You know, I'm jealous of that snake. I never get that kind of attention from my class." And a student perked up and said, "You would if you could swallow a mouse." John the Baptist, somebody like that. John the Baptist got people's attention. John the Baptist is like that eccentric, unpredictable uncle we all have who shows up at your family gatherings. Shake your head yes if you have one. I do. And everyone holds their breath because he has no politeness filter. He says outrageous things. You know the type. And the worst part about the outrage is that the impolite things he says are mostly true. John was saying, it doesn't matter who you are, who your father was, your mother was, what position you hold in the church, it is time to repent and be ritually washed as any outsider would be. See, a washing, a baptism, Jewish folks reserved for an outsider, an unclean person who was coming in to the community. And John was doing it for people who were already more or less following God's law. More or less. Okay, at least they knew God's law. Well, at least they had sense enough to feel guilty about the fact that they knew God's law and they were not following God's law. Kind of like us. John is where we get the saying, "Don't lose your head." It is. Because for telling the truth so bluntly, you're sinners and you must turn, repent, you must return to God. Because of his boldness, he literally lost his head. And here we are, just before the table of communion, where we remember what the world did to Jesus, who came preaching a similar message, return to God. Return, you selfish prodigal, starving out there in the wilderness, eating pig slop. Return and find God waiting with open arms to embrace you. And for that message, they nailed Jesus to a cross. If we're going to sneak up on joy in this short message, we better do it quick. John was indeed the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now we know that our paths are not so straight. We wander too often in the wilderness of materialism and fear of terrorists and anthrax in the mail. And around this time of the year, we tiptoe around potential family blow-ups. And then we wonder when there's a divorce among our friends, which of the friends will we get in the divorce? Who do we send Christmas cards to? We struggle with grief and loss. We struggle with disease and temptation and guilt, real and imagined. And yet we sing and we want joy more than anything else deep in our souls. We hunger for real presence and for real peace that will break up the patches of anxiety in our hearts. The way a good cough clears your lungs. You know, when you have a really good cough and you have a cold and you feel fresh air touching some part of your lung that hasn't had air in a long time. I love that feeling. We want peace and joy that breaks up the patches of anxiety and fear in our hearts. We know there is joy out there somewhere. But most of us have lived long enough to know that it is not in the things we can own or the things we can touch or see or drink or take. We've tried it, and it got us nowhere. We have more than any generation before us, and yet I'm reminded of the old Beatles song. So many are like the nowhere man making nowhere plans for nobody. There's an emptiness in our age. God wants you to know that in Christ you are somebody. You are saved. You are healed. You are forgiven. God wants you to rise above the level of nowhere existence. Nowhere existence where you can keep your head and you can more or less behave and yet lose your soul. God in Christ has given us the means to see life from an entirely different dimension. And John's very rude call still speaks because we are still selfish sinners, looking down the wrong roads. The solution is still return. That means repent, to turn back to God. Allow God's Spirit to cleanse us and to change us. We are all thirsty in our souls. We are all looking for that water from a deeper well. God loves us, even as we are. But make no mistake about it. God means to change us, to grow us into the likeness of Christ, to redirect us away from self and back to God's self as the still point, the touchstone of our existence. Repent means turn back to God. And the Spirit gives us power and comfort and guidance to level the hills in our lives, the impediments, and to fill in the potholes and to travel in a Godward direction. Away from the self-addiction all the days of your life as you grow and change and give yourself. Now, some people will think you're odd for doing so, but you'll know where you're going after God. John was not offering God politely as one option out of many, the way celebrities embrace Scientology one year, and then the next year, Kabbalah is the hot religion of the day. He was saying, listen, sinners, God is doing a brand new thing. God is coming. His Savior will make Him known. Get ready for what is real, for what matters, for what God had planned from the very beginning. People today, as well as then, are starving for lasting truth. We cover up, we deceive, we deny, but always deep inside there is a desire to change and to grow and to know the truth, to be in union with God, and also to be connected with other people, to be able to love, to be able to forgive, to be able to trust. John said, sinners, listen up. Regardless of who you are or what you've done or how high or how low your self-esteem, there is room for you at the table. And all humankind will see God's salvation. Yes, John was fierce, but he was sneaking up on the good news, the joy of God's coming in Jesus Christ. And part of that good news is change is possible. Change is possible. No one is beyond the reach of this gracious, forgiving God who comes to us so that we might come to Him. There's an old movie entitled The High and the Mighty. And in that movie, there's a flight over the ocean, and the pilot's voice comes over the intercom and says, we've got a problem, and we can't correct it. We are not going to make it. And I'm announcing to everybody on this plane, just so you can prepare yourselves for the inevitable. And in that movie, there's an elegantly dressed lady. And she begins to remove a diamond brooch from her neck and a large ring from her finger. And she peels off some false eyelashes, and then she removes the makeup, revealing a scar on her forehead, which has always been there, but always been concealed. She is preparing herself for the end, and she wants to go as she really is. It turns out in the movie they do make it to the airport, but the woman is changed forever. She had taken off her mask and become who she really was. Become who you really are. And come to this table, not out of rote ritual, but come with repentance, a return to God. Come seeking water from that deeper well, the water which is God's Spirit within, welling up to eternal life. Changing us, and the way we feel, and the way we see, and the way we relate to others. He has come and is coming. The message of Advent. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. Open to Him. Open fully wide the door of your heart. Open to God in Christ your hearts. The Magi, when they celebrated the birth of a Savior, they brought wonderful gifts, the best they had. Bring your best gift to this communion table. Bring your heart, your body, your soul, which is, when you think about it, what Jesus brought to us. Only God can make us into what we were meant to be, children in the likeness of our Heavenly Father. Come empty, come hungry, and see if God doesn't meet you here. Amen. I do ask you to join me for the Sacrament of Communion on page 12 in your hymnal. We will receive communion by intinction today. You are invited afterwards if you so desire. We are very crowded up here, but we'll have the serving station in the middle. Come down the middle. If you wish, kneel off to the side and then return on the side aisles to your seats. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us briefly pass the peace and offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. Can you move it? If you can, that would be great. I'll ask my servers to come forward. You're with me. Jack, you're with Hazel. Okay. And please use the... Join me in the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving, as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The body of Christ was broken for you. Body of Christ is broken for you. The body of Christ was broken for you. Okay.